The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
You can take nothing away from how absolutely on point Bilal looked. He got hurt a couple times, stung with some good shots, but the pressure was nonstop from Bilal Muhammad.
I could beat the best, everybody in this division. I'm going to be the champion 2023. You better believe it. Put it on my name right now.
Bilal, remember the name Muhammad.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous! Listen to me, we're at it!
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Getting the show off on time, which is a miracle. I didn't think we were going to be able to. I was having construction done. We have Jimmy Smith, who works for the same company I do, SiriusXM, and Unlocking the Cage is his show. We only have him for a few minutes, I think, because he's taping his show today, and Bilal Muhammad, one of the best welterweights on earth, will be with us. And we love Bilal, so I want to see what's coming up for him.
Unlock the cage! Let him out! I'm sorry, Jimmy. Did you miss me? Did you have a nice little relax time last Wednesday when Dean Thomas?
I do like Dean, but I always miss Matt Serra.
You like Dean, but you prefer me. You say prefer.
I didn't want to say that.
I know. It's not right, but it's true. I'm only fucking around. We got Jimmy Smith coming on, man.
Yes.
Not the Jimmy Smith NYPD Blue.
No. How are you feeling, by the way? How are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I listened to the beginning of the show last week, and it's funny, you know, because I hear you being all, you know, kind and caring and concerned for your friend.
Yeah.
Like, man, you know, hope Matt's all right. His good friend, Hulk, passed away. I hope Matt's doing. And then right to Dean Thomas, right? A caring, cold-hearted Dean Thomas. Man, all right, Jimmy. Jimmy, it's me and you today. You know, Omar just, boom. Not a care in the world about his friend with the hurt heart.
Well, you know, some guys just like to, they handle hurt things different. They just kind of move right past it. It's the way they do it. All right, we got Jimmy here. See, a true radio pro.
Yes.
Knows to come in on time. This is why I love guys in radio.
And that's taking a shot at me because I'm late.
No, you're never late. You were here before me today.
I am putting my sword back in because me and you, we're buddies. I miss you.
There he is. Hey, Jimmy.
Put the sword back in? Literally?
Yeah. It's a euphemism.
Exactly,
yeah.
The first thing I heard coming in.
It's so weird being, hold on. Let me see your shirt. It's so weird being here, same age as old people. I know.
Yeah. Right?
Listen, it is weird.
It is fucking weird, isn't it?
I am 49.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm 48. In June, I'll be 49. I don't want to rush it.
Yeah. Sorry, 45, I'll be 46 in September.
But you saw people, I'm 54. When I was young, you saw people this age and go, like, they're fucking dead.
Fucking
awful.
Zombies, right?
Yeah. Jimmy Norton, I think you should get on TRT. Jimmy Smith, you're not
debating
You're not fighting anymore. You're not fighting anymore. It's nothing wrong with it. Are you on a TRT testosterone replacement or anything?
No.
Why not? Look at you.
You don't need it.
I don't think he needs it, though.
He doesn't need it.
I need it.
No, but guys, you know, I didn't have one of those careers 10, 15 years destroying my fucking body. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't have one of those. Yeah, my career was pretty short. So, dude, I remember being in the changing room behind the scenes at Fox Studios with guys who had phenomenal careers, can't undo their fucking shirt. You know, I sit there for 10 minutes to take the shirt off because back's fucked up. And I'm like, dude, do whatever the fuck you need to do to get, you know, I didn't have, fortunately, or whatever, one of those careers, you know.
Well, the difference is I just need it because my energy is low. I don't have any cool like injuries. My fucking energy is just low and shit. And I'm moping around and getting tits. And I'm like, I got to do something.
Yeah, I had a teammate say the same thing. He's just, I just have low T. It's just a genetic thing. And I was like, fucking do it. Like,
ah, shit, man. I feel good. I taught this morning. I don't know. I got a lot of energy. I'm always on espresso, but still.
Yeah. Now, Jimmy, your show at SiriusXM, do you broadcast from here and they air it, or do you actually go in?
I literally flip off this headset and I put on this headset and I am on air. Yeah.
And you guys go from right now, it's going to be 2 o'clock to 3. Where are you now? Are you on the East Coast?
I am in Delray Beach, Florida, man.
Oh, okay. So you go from 2 to 3. You might, how many days a week?
2 to 5, 5 days a week, man.
Oh, you do. Wow. You're doing more than I'm doing. Don't you love
3 hours a day?
3 hours a day. Yeah. Don't you love having a regular radio gig? There's something about it. I do Monday through Thursday, 8 to 11. It's just nice to have a regular paycheck.
When they fucking, when I got signed with the WWE and he goes, man, it's a 3 hour show. And I said, I do 3 hours a day every day by myself.
Yeah.
Don't have a co-host. It's me fucking yik yakking about MMA for 3 fucking hours.
So wow.
Don't tell me about it, man. I know all too well about keeping your energy up for 3 hours.
Yeah. And it's nice to have somebody that you like to talk to. And I love radio gigs. What do you think about the deal UFC has cut with SiriusXM to broadcast? Yeah. I thought there should have been a radio broadcast. I'm like, I'm so annoyed when I'm driving that I can't listen to this like a baseball game.
Yeah. No, I think it's great. I think it's absolutely, for once again, like that idea of accessibility, like any other major sport, right?
Right.
And it was something we dreamed about 25 years ago when I got into MMA. It was like, gee, imagine being able to turn your TV and watch MMA, or imagine being able to listen to it like you can baseball or football or anything else. And then it now we're it's everywhere. And so it's like, yeah, anything that makes it easier to access, I'm all about it.
Do you think they're going to have, like, you know, they have Portuguese, they have English, they have Chinese. Are they going to have a separate radio announcer or to do it for radio like baseball does? Or are they just going to simulcast Rogan and DC and those guys?
As far as I know, it's simulcast. Far as I know, it's the exact same thing. There's just no difference. Why change if you don't have to? Why involve more moving parts if you don't have to? Yeah. So I think so.
Yeah. Well, Jimmy, those guys. Yes, buddy.
Well, there's two Jimmys. I'm sorry. Let me ask you, Jimmy.
Please.
Smith, let me ask you. 3 hours a day. What do we? I mean, I know we could talk a lot about the upcoming. Let's say there's not a fight for another week. What do? We do some deep dives on certain fighters, or do we talk about upcoming matches? I mean, 3 hours is a nice chunk.
It's a long time, yeah. But it's almost all right. So what we do is we generally have one kind of big story for that week or that day. And we break it up into parts to start every hour so that we're always kind of referencing back to it. And of course, in this case, it's going to be last Saturday's UFC, whatever. We're not going to get into next week until maybe Thursday, Friday. And so it's all right. For example, all right. So we had the fight last Saturday. So I break down the X's and O's of that fight. Then it's all right. What the hell do you do with Max Holloway? He's beating the champ. He's lost the champ 3 times. No one can beat him. He's a gatekeeper. You can't get past. What does this do for the division at 145? What do we do with this guy? Another segment might be, okay, he wants to go to 55. What are his chances at 55? I don't think they're particularly good. He's tried it before against Dustin Poirier. Didn't work. So it's about dividing stories into pieces that I can break down throughout the week. That's a big part of what I do.
What do you think, too? Because, again, three losses to, according to the judges, I mean, we all saw the first two fights.
Second one was close, but two were pretty definitive. First and third, I thought were pretty definitive.
See, I thought Max won the first fight, but I will watch it again. Maybe I'm obviously wrong, but I the second one, I definitely thought he won. But the first one, I have to go back and watch. I haven't seen it.
First and third, I thought were pretty definitive. Second one, I thought Max won.
But second one was in Abu Dhabi. I was there. Unless I'm crazy. I don't know where I am, but I was there, and I remember being like, yo, man, I thought it was pretty clear that Max won that second
one. I thought so, too. Yeah.
It's so much that I thought that he was going to win the third, which wasn't the case.
Man,
so, you know.
It's one of those things. And Matt, you and I have seen it. I'd put John Fitch in this category. Rich Franklin was in this category where we had like this number two guy was so good that nobody could get past. Remember, a prime John Fitch beat everybody but GSP. A prime Rich Franklin beat everybody but Anderson Silva. And so you have that gatekeeper that is too good at keeping the gate. And you go, well, what do we do? We can get past this dude. What's he gonna beat up Korean Zombie? Okay, great, wonderful. You know, what does that add to his legacy at this point? It's a tough spot to be in, and we see it periodically in MMA. you know.
So what do you think happens? What do they do? Do you wait until there's somebody else? How do you handle that?
MMA, an MMA weight class, is a tank full of piranhas. If you don't throw food in there, they'll eat each other. And that's how you have to see a division, right? Is we just keep these guys in here, they're going to eat each other, and we have nobody for the champ, right? So there has to be this kind of this like leveling up idea. And it was the same thing. Eugene Behrman, who's a city kickboxing coach, I talked to him last week, and he said, hey, look, the next 185 contender just has to make their presence felt and come up. And yeah, that's a great idea. But when the top five is packed with veterans that can beat those guys, it's very difficult to get that mobility going. So it is an issue. I think it's an issue at 85. It's an issue at 45, where they're just not generating that next. I don't see that 10 to 15 guy, right? That I'm going, oh man, can't wait to Ilya Topuria at 45. He's a dark horse at number 9. I like him a lot. But there aren't enough of those guys that I'm excited about making their way up. And it's a tough thing to do. It really is. Yeah, it's not easy.
I almost felt like when Jones was light heavyweight champion, he kind of ran into that where you've beaten everybody really interesting or all the great storylines of what will happen when these two guys fight. Yeah. And it almost is like, what do you do with him? Because he has beaten everybody who, and again, they want to sell fights. They want to be able to, you know, so that's why, you know, I think Bilal has a tougher time getting Leon than maybe Colby will, because they think that they could probably sell the Colby fight better. But I'm glad John moves on to heavyweight, because I was like, there's really nobody else I was that interested in seeing him fight, at least at that point.
Matt, I want to ask you a question.
Yes.
Seriously. All right. Because we're both old as fuck. So we have to ask Chris.
That's great. I like that you said that, because Jimmy's older than us. Go ahead.
Yes.
So here's the deal. Here's the deal. I was doing a thing for ESPN. I did a thing called UFC Fight Camp. They were talking about something about, you know, why do the numbers favor, when we talk about all time, the numbers favor like an era that was GSP, Anderson Silva. And I said, number one, they got the belt a lot younger. You didn't need that many fights to get a title shot. You needed one or two. So they got the belts in their mid-20s. So they had a longer run because they started out younger. Now, like Leon Edwards wins the title at 31. Is he going to have 10 title defenses? Probably not. He got it when he was 31. And number two, I said, we didn't have huge debates about the next contender. We didn't have rankings. So when the UFC would just throw in the next guy. So you got Patrick Cote for Anderson Silva. You got Talis Latis. Good guys, not pay-per-view selling, you know, stars. And so I was sitting there going, are the rankings really worth it? It's just nobody wants to kind of fight down, but we used to not have them. So the next guy just wasn't a huge debate. It was like, all right, this guy's next. And we went, okay, fine. And so champs fought a lot more. And so, like, do you think putting a number next to their name, which I know is it generates excitement, but it's also like, oh, I'm number three, I'm not fighting number seven. You're like, guys, that's an abstract number next to your name. Does it really, you know what I mean? It seems like it's more of an arguing point than a practical thing that helps. What do you think? Because you remember when it was like, oh, that's the next title contender. And people went, okay, you know?
Listen, I mean, it was still, again, we were in a transitional period where it felt like it was still going to be over any second. So I felt like until it wasn't, until it broke through and with the Ultimate Fighter and stuff. But back then, I'll tell you what it felt like. It just felt so many more, like, I'm going to say not fights stood out, but we got so much more now. That is so many fights now that is so, and this might be a different topic, but this, one, I think we do need the rankings, because otherwise then it's a total fucking popularity contest. You know what I mean? Yeah. So now they could say they do have that arguing point. Hey, man, I beat this one, that one, this one in the top 10. How can you deny me? Guys like Bilal Muhammad have that arguing point if they're not.
Those are Yush. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, exactly. I think you do need it for that one thing, because a lot of guys aren't going to be magic on the mic. And I know they're not going to have that X factor where it's like, I want to see him. Like even Arnold Allen, who's coming up, that was good. They gave him Max Holloway. What about that? I mean, not to switch gears, but that was fucking, I mean, that's an undefeated fighter. God damn, Max Holloway, man. Those five rounds, better and better. And that was something else, no?
Yeah, he looked incredible.
It's insane. And I think this is underrated in our sport now, because like you said, we tend to hunt for stars. The consistency of the guys that go out there, and God, Max always looks good. He just always, it's never like, oh, you know, bad performance with Max Holloway. Other than Volk, just I think being the better fighter, the guy is so consistent. And we don't reward that enough in our sport.
And how crazy is that Max is only 31? We were just talking about age and how guys get the title younger. Max feels like he's 52 because you've been watching him for so many years. Yeah. And he's at this point now with what happens to him. And he's only 31 years old.
We got into the UFC in his fourth fight. Like some absurdly low number that doesn't really happen these days. And so that's another thing. His whole career has been the UFC, which is absurd. That's a throwback kind of thing. You know?
I think his first fight or second fight was Connor. Maybe it was his first one.
In the UFC, his first or second was Connor.
Yeah. It was Connor.
God, was his first one Dustin?
I don't remember.
Because he fought Dustin twice. He fought him 45 and 55. But yeah. Like, he's just thrown right in with the Wolves. And so I think that's where we have this idea. Like, God, he's been at the elite level for so long.
I'm looking at Max right now, and I will tell you who his first fight in the UFC, because it's going to annoy me if we don't.
Wow, the first was Dustin.
So booyah. Bang, first one was Dustin, yeah. Yeah, lost
the
to Dustin.
The second was Connor.
It's like, oh, how hard can it get? Let's see, you know?
So people are probably like, oh, man, this guy's 0-2. Meanwhile, becomes one of the best ever. It's
Wait, who, Max?
Max what?
You're saying Max's second fight was Connor?
I'm sorry, Pat Schilling was the second?
Yeah. He fought a few guys. He lost to Dennis Bermudez, and then he lost to Connor.
Yeah. Oh, wow, man. He had a little rough. Well, again,
then he went on that run.
Yeah.
Propelled him into the title contention, yeah.
That's wild, man.
Yeah, so it is kind of weird to see a guy like that, like, who's so good. What do you think happens with Bilal? They're speculating with Colby and him fighting. I don't think Colby takes that fight at all. No. If they've told, because it's like when Frankie Edgar took Ortega, everybody loved him for it, but he didn't have to do it, and it wound up costing him because Brian won that fight. So I think that'd be a crazy move for Colby to take any fight but Leon if he has a shot.
Yeah, and also, you know, Bilal is one of those guys, and I've seen him from the beginning. I called one of his early fights, and it's one of those things where you go, it's even if you win, if you find a way to beat Bilal, which is not easy, it's not aesthetic. Like, it's one of those fights you're like, oh, like, you know, there are those certain guys you fight, or even in the gym you train against, you go, oh, this is just going to suck. This guy is such a grinder, and he's so good. Even if I win... You don't. I'm trying to think of Elias Theodoro at 185. Remember, he had a magic for making people look bad, even if they were pretty good. Even if you could beat Elias Theodoro, you looked bad doing it. You know what I mean?
He was pretty, but it wasn't pretty the way.
Yeah. He just had a style that was kind of grinding, and
he would Matt find Lindley, a way to,
right?
Find a way to win. He'd find a way to win. It was really solid.
Now, Jimmy, they're telling us, we're getting a note from our producer saying that's probably the last question, so he can go to his show at 2:00. It's 1:58, so that's not coming from us,
guys.
That's coming from you.
Go ahead, you're a pro.
Until my last second, really appreciate you guys. You're awesome. Anytime, you guys just let me know, man.
Thank you. It was great talking to you. Where can people hear you? What channel on SiriusXM?
SiriusXM Fight Nation, right? Channel 156.
156.
I start in literally 2 minutes. All right.
Let's go.
Appreciate you guys.
All right, buddy. Talk to you soon, Jimmy. Thanks a lot. Guys.
All right, Jimmy Smith.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
He really, I love a guy like that who knows everything about it and loves it. You know who we should get back on here, dude, who I'm a fan of? Chuck Zito. I Chuck Zito's Instagram, I'm kind of like, he just lives a full life. You watch this guy, he's always out to dinner with his friends, he's meeting bikers that he knows, he's going to this event and that fight, and he is always fucking doing something. So I like Chuck Zito a lot. I would love to have him back on.
You gotta live your life, Jimmy.
I know, but I look at other people and I'm like, wow, he does a lot. Like, he lives a very full life.
My friend Hulk that passed, he was your age, 54. He was playing drums on the weekend.
Wow.
He learned how to play drums, and he was playing in, like, little bands and stuff on the weekends out east. And she was fucking – I told him, I go, dude, man, I like that you're – I told you this before. It was Hulk. When he was like, I'm telling you, listen, I'm going to take classes. I want to pay for it with the stand-up comedy. You do it with me. Like, he was that guy. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. I don't know where the hell that came from.
But, no, I know.
Life's crazy, man.
It is, yes. And there's nothing you can do to see it coming. It's not like when somebody gets sick and then you can kind of, you know,
yeah,
see it coming. When it's something like that, there's just no way, there's no preparation at all.
Man, that Jillian Robinson.
That's what I was going to ask you about with Rodriguez. Do you think she tapped?
Well, no, she definitely tapped the leg out of instinct, but.
Was it a tap, though, or was it like to try to push her leg off?
Either way, you know, the ref, if anything, the ref from the angle, the ref saw the hand do that and then got a better look and that arm was about to break. So girl, I understand the girl was upset. Other girl, I should say, Pira Rodriguez, and she's tough.
Yeah.
But I thought Jillian, in her jiu-jitsu, she has her jiu-jitsu is so good for MMA because positionally she's very strong, but she has the guts to go for the submissions, even at a risk. And she'll do it at the right time. And she got that arm locked beautifully. She could have just finished that round on top. She was going to be up two rounds, but she got that and it was done. It was done beautifully. That was the second round. Yeah, in the first round. Listen, I'm telling you, man, I think she might have the most submissions with out of women in that division. Look into that, producer. But I love watching a fight. I really do.
And Azmat Mirzakhanov against Dustin Jacoby was a decision. He didn't get him out in the first round, but that guy is really exciting in the light heavyweight division. He's in the rankings, number 15. And he might have been before. That might have been right before.
He was coming back, man. He was a little too late. But Azmat was getting a little gassed.
Yeah, he says he broke his arm as well.
Who broke whose arm?
Azmat saying he broke his own arm or he broke Dustin's arm. I'm assuming he broke his own arm. And we should also, Iwan Kutalaba, very tough debut at light heavyweight for Tanner Boser. First round knockout. You broke his arm. Okay, that's what we thought. What do you think, Matt? Because Tanner Boser's obviously fought guys that are much more powerful. Do you think part of it could be that when you go down in weight, your cut is a lot harder, especially when you didn't have to cut before?
Hey, but you're dealing with Kutalaba is a savage, and he's coming after you. And you got to know that going in. So you could look at it one of two ways. All right, now you're taking strikes from somebody not as big because you used to fight at heavyweight.
Right.
Or maybe now that you lost that weight, you're not good at taking the strikes. So
right.
It could be one or the other. Or he just got overwhelmed. And that's looked to me, he got, Kutalaba was on him. I mean, just on him. So, he didn't have a very good answer for it, you know?
It's weird. It's like I think going from heavyweight down to light heavyweight is probably the hardest drop down because you could theoretically be mentally in a place where you almost never have to cut any weight. I mean, any other weight, they always have to cut. So if they go down to a lower weight class, they're still used to cutting weight. But at heavyweight, unless you're 265, you're not cutting at all. So I think that's a much harder thing to have to all of a sudden cut weight when for X amount of fights, you just didn't have to think about that at all.
Shit, man. I hear you, dude. And it forces you to train more sometimes when you do have to cut that weight too. So, I mean, again, it's all about where you feel the best. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm very happy for Pedro Munhoz because
yes.
And he's just a likable guy. You know what's not so likable? Clay Guida's hair now.
It's weird, right? He doesn't look the same.
This is the thing. You got it. I think we should go one extreme to the other.
Yeah,
you see what's going on in the back. It's no longer a party. The house is on fire. So and that motherfucker is burning. Listen, this is what you do. The back of the hair is no good. And Clay Guida was known for his hair. Okay. And his fight style. You look like Captain Caveman out there. And that's cool. But it's over. Not his fighting career.
Of course not.
I think Clay Guida should shave his head. Come to the side of me, Jimmy Smith. Look at this. Ready? Oh, my goodness. This morning at 6:40 a.m., I was in my steam shower over at Sarah BJJ, Huntington, Long Island, New York. And I was shaving my head. and it's so relaxing.
Sure.
I was on espresso. I was high. But my point is, it's almost like a meditative state. And then I was doing some single legs off the fucking takedown. Boom, single leg takedowns. Anyway, that, and Uma Plata is an Uma Plata. If he rolls out, had to roll back into it. Jimmy.
Yeah.
What a morning.
Sure.
All right. So we have Bilal Muhammad coming in.
Oh, by the way, before what silly geese. I love Billy Quarantillo. He's a really nice guy and he's a great fighter. But I was very happy for Edson Barboza. That was a great, great win for Barboza with that knee. I mean, you could just tell. He said he had trained for it, for Quarantillo throwing a punch and then going in for the takedown. What a beautiful knee that was by Edson. He looked good the whole fight. He throws those snap kicks. I love watching him. You know, I'm a big Barboza fan. Watching him kick legs or body kick is really something to behold.
Well, this is what I'll tell you about that. About
yes.
That. Billy Q was trying to pressure him.
Yes.
And he was trying to put that pressure on him. But sometimes, just sometimes with Edson Barboza, he's only a knee away. Come back for this. Ready?
No.
Barboza. Right now, I'm looking around. I have my hand to my forehead. I'm looking around over oh. Trees, under rocks.
See a bunch of people booing.
You're not getting me out of Barboza. Let me look over there. Edson. Just to make it clear, Edson Barboza. I'm going to stretch this out.
Yeah.
You're only a knee away. Barboza, Edson, Barboza.
Yeah, 50K bonus, of course, which he deserved. I mean, that was vintage Edson Barboza. Really nice to see. I was very happy for him.
Let's keep going forward. Jimmy, yes. I wasn't going to sing the song if he lost.
One more thing too, Matt.
Yes.
Holloway. Holloway, Arnold Allen. Now, am I crazy or I don't know if I can remember seeing Max throw that amount of body kicks. I loved it. And it was very effective. And that you could, it was like a bat. It was like those Owen St. Preux kicks when he lands them. But I don't, am I crazy or has Max not done that? I've never seen him throw that many body kicks that I can remember.
Man. It might have been, you might have seen him throw that same kick a lot, but it was head kicks to fucking Volkanovski.
Oh, Matt, that's a short joke.
That's a short joke, and I can say because I'm short.
Yes, you are. I'm sorry. I apologize. You're right.
You gotta fucking go. You don't gotta celebrate the fact.
I didn't mean to agree like that. It was just
kidding. I mean, I'm stocky at the end of the day. You don't have to.
I might go on the TRT, by the way. We talked about that. I'll let you know. Yes, I might. I might.
Jimmy, you should.
I might take a small dose.
It's good for the energy. It's good for everything. It's also good for your cock.
I don't need that, though. My cock is fine. And I also don't need any more.
My cock's better. Sword fight. Come on, Jimmy. I'm sorry. We're not going to have a sword.
No, it'd be a sword getting hit by a noodle.
It'd be a ew. Stop. Stop wrapping yours around mine.
All right. Oh, no. If we got stuck like rats, you know how the fucking rats get their tails caught?
Well, the deer with the antlers.
Yeah, that would be very uncomfortable. That'd be very awkward. We'd have to laugh about it.
Imagine, we should do as a joke? We should put the Chinese finger thing. What is that thing?
Finger cuffs, yeah. Finger
cuffs on our penises.
Yeah, I know.
Get it off. That might change our relationship. Let's not do that.
No, probably not.
It sounds interesting, though.
Yeah. Now, what do you know? Obviously, what do you think about Aljo and Cejudo? I know you, Aljo, but do you think? How do you think he wins? Is it fast? Do you think he gets his back fast, or do you think it's a very tough fight?
Well, listen. Spoke to young Aljo today. Okay. And, you know, I'm going to be there and I'm going to be with him. And I don't want to talk about fucking strategy.
Right. You don't want to give it away.
I don't want to give it away. But I will tell you this. He could outfight him. And he's got certain things in his arsenal that Cejudo hasn't seen before.
When is that fight, Matt?
I told him, though, a week before, though, a couple weeks before, I'm going to Manchester, England. Doing like some fucking super seminar with some OG fucking MMA guys.
Right. I'm trying to find out when that fight is.
No, you don't care when I talk about myself, though. All right.
Wait, you were talking about they're going to Manchester, England.
May 6th, man. It's May 6th.
Thank you.
Come on, man. Give it the time, yo.
Yeah, okay.
I should have answered you. I got AD and another D, bro.
Yes, no, I do too. Is that fight? That fight is in England.
Oh, this is interesting. What?
You say Manchester, England. Are you talking about him? New Jersey. Okay. What are you talking about Manchester for?
I'm going there, man. You don't listen to your friend.
No. I thought you were going there for him. That's when we were talking about Aljo. You said I'm going to Manchester.
Jersey. I'm going to Dragon Tribe there. Fuck. All right. That's in Jersey, man. I'm going to Manchester, England, because George St. Pierre got in touch with me, and he's like, yo, man, we're doing this kind of fan thing over in Manchester, England. Can I get my people in touch with your people? I go, you're talking to them. I go, hold on. You want to talk to my people? Hold on. It's me. I don't got people, Jimmy. You're my people.
Now, when are you doing that? And what is it? Is it a conversation? Are you guys just signing some stuff?
From what I've seen, it's shaking some hands and kissing some babies, that type of thing. I'm not going to actually kiss a baby, and I'm not going to suck in any tongues either. But what I will do is have a good time. I don't know. I think it's like a meet and greet. And then there's like an hour MMA lesson, which I'll just teach my jiu-jitsu for fighting, of course.
Sure. How long are you going for?
Huh?
How long?
I'm going on a Friday, coming back on Monday. So I might need somebody to cover a Monday show, even though I might be able to make it.
But. Friday, only 3 nights. Okay. And you got a nice hotel there.
Oh, no. Yeah. 5-star. How many stars? So look, man, they fly me out. And you know what I do? I'm going to do what I normally do on a weekend. I'm going to teach some jiu-jitsu. Maybe hang out with George. You know, he better want to hang out.
Sure.
You know, I think Kenny Florian might be there. I'm going to have some, you know, I like that guy. Dude, I just lost Hulk. Like, you know what's funny? When Hulk found out I was going to Manchester, the guy was fucking texting me, dude, I always wanted to go. I mean, the guy was going to, he might have went with me to Manchester, that nut. Always down. Always down.
For
a road trip. You know, Jimmy?
Yeah.
That's how to live life. Next thing you know, you're on a fucking motorized scooter. You get hit by a truck. Life is fucking unforgiving, Jimmy.
Yeah. It's done, it's done fast.
It's done fast, Jimmy. But if I ever go, Jimmy, this is what I want you. This is my, basically like my song to you. And I don't want to sing the whole thing, but I'm just going to say, don't you forget about me. No, 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 no.
Oh.
Don't you forget about me.
Okay, that's the, yes.
And I don't think they say no, 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 but do they say?
I don't know.
Wait, hold on. No, it goes like this. It's from The Breakfast Club. All you kids out there.
Yes.
Watch it. But it goes something like this. But that's the first verse. But I don't think they say no, no, no,
no. Oh, see, I was thinking of a different song. Oh, okay.
What are you thinking of, Jimmy?
I don't want to say.
What does this say? No, it's don't.
Oh, don't forget about me. No. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My bad. I said no, no, no. It doesn't sound as good. Don't do it. Anyway, we'll agree that we both enjoy.
Yeah, I wouldn't play that song. I'm just saying that was the one that came.
I'm crying. Listen, but Jimmy, seriously though, don't you forget about me.
No, I won't. That is a good song too. Good music in the Breakfast Club.
Breakfast Club was great, dude.
It was okay, but the music was really good.
Where is your reefer? It's in the geek's pants. He didn't say that. He goes, and whatever the kid's name, I don't know. Listen, but I'll tell you right now, very sexual. It's another show I'm not going to be watching with my children. We tried to watch Scandals, and it wasn't happening, you know?
You know what I want to know too, Matt? I mean, I wonder why they're talking about doing now Stipe Jones in the Garden. And I understand the Garden is such a big card, but Jones fought. Stipe has not fought in a long time, and Jones only fought for a couple of minutes. It took no punches. I mean, he could be ready to fight for July. What do you think the advantage is to the Garden, besides the fact it's New York, it's the building? Couldn't Jones fight in July And then now, okay, August, September, October, and 4 months after that would be too soon. He couldn't do both. But what do you think? Why didn't they do July, I wonder?
I have no clue, but I'm excited for that fight, man, because
maybe Dana wants to keep him out of Vegas.
This is what Stipe wanted to fight in July. That's what our producer's telling us.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm wondering if they find John has too many distractions in Vegas, and they're like, yeah, New York.
Man, listen, man. That fight's going to be a fucking something else, because what happens is you're not going to hear me saying first round sub in that one.
No.
I seen Stipe on the floor, dude. He's not a hard guy to get down or keep down, man. He's really not.
He's not an easy guy to get down or keep down, you mean?
He's not a hard. Oh no, he is a hard guy to do that.
Yeah,
he's not hard. That's the opposite.
Sure, Stipe wouldn't like that shit.
Stipe's gonna be like, "You fuck."
Yeah,
no, he's a very hard guy to get down and keep down. He's got underrated. Well, he used to take guys down too, man. He's not
yeah.
like take guys down either. But I think that's gonna be a contest on the feet, and that's gonna be fucking interesting, man. Stipe is a guy that just knows how to win, you know.
He does, yeah. And Jones's kicks and those leg kicks and those oblique kicks, he's so good. We didn't get to see him really do any of that against Cyril because it was over so quick, as per your prediction. I wish that was happening sooner. What do you think is going on with Francis? He hasn't turned up anywhere. Is it post-surgery stuff? He's not sure he's still healing?
I mean, I don't know, man, but how old is he? Because you only have a certain shelf.
I know. I think it was a surgery thing. I believe he's 36. I haven't, I think 36, maybe even 37. Let me see. 36, I was correct. He's 36 until September. So he could have 4 years of good fights left, 3 years at least, but.
I like the, shit. I'm reading here about Brandon, not to get all over the place, but Brandon Rovell, he won.
Yeah, he did.
That kid's a nice kid. He did great. He did phenomenal. I like how he cursed on the thing. Like, yo, I must have forgot. Almost the fucking forgot. Something that he's, oh man, sorry if I shouldn't have cursed. Something like that, but it was funny. But he's saying that he confirms that he'll be in Las Vegas at UFC 290 as backup fighter.
Yes.
Marino versus Alex Pendoja. So yeah, that should be interesting, man. I mean, listen, Brandon Rovell's fucking awesome. He's a fun guy to watch fight, you know?
Yes.
I enjoyed the fights the other night.
Incredible. Just a great, great night.
But it started off, I feel bad, because it's been talked about a lot. But the opening fight, Jocelyn Edwards got awarded the decision.
Yeah.
Lucy Putilova.
Putilova
won that fight handedly. So, it's not Jocelyn's fault.
Right.
You know? But... you know, she didn't win the fight. Now, so I felt a little, I felt for her with that. You know what I mean?
Isn't that weird? Like when a decision, I was talking this morning, I think, to a friend of mine. We were on the Jim and Sam show, my buddy Mike Vecchione, his good comedy special out. And we were talking about boxing. We were talking about Gennady Golovkin against Canelo. And it's what I hate so much about boxing is the bad decisions. And UFC doesn't have as many what I think are criminal decisions as boxing. But there's enough bad decisions in UFC where judges have to be penalized somehow for getting it so wrong. There has to be a way that their peers can watch a fight. I don't know how you do that, but there's no way they can keep getting it this wrong. It's like umpires who always miss calls. How the fuck do these guys have jobs?
I have no fucking idea, and I can't stand baseball. But you know what I'm looking forward to, Jimmy?
Yes.
A Netflix show coming out by Zack Snyder called Rebel Moon. And it's a sci-fi thing. It's supposed to be like his kind of Star Wars type movie. Like, it's supposed to be huge. And that's coming out, I'm pretty sure, soon. I got to find out. Hey, producer, Jake the producer.
Thank God. Bilal is in the waiting room.
Jake the producer, look up what time when that's coming out, Rebel Moon on Netflix, please. Oh, we got Bilal?
Yes, thank God.
Why do you mean thank God?
I don't like Star Wars.
I didn't say it was Star Wars.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Done by the same people.
Let's get Bilal in here.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters.
both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Yo.
Okay, buddy. How are you?
What's up, guys?
Lel!
What's up, man?
Tell us why you're mad, son. Tell us. Tell the world. We need some respect on that name.
Yeah, the real ones know what it is. So I get the respect from the people that matter, honestly.
Hey, when you left, I seen on Instagram you left the you had a meeting. I think with Dana and Hunter, and you're like, these guys are good guys, and yada yada, this, and we're gonna have some, don't listen to the rumors. It looked like a good meeting, but then we didn't hear shit. What is going on?
It was the waiting game because we were trying to figure out what was gonna happen. Like we were talking about Kamaru Usman, and we're waiting on him to see when he's healthy. Obviously they said Kobe's next for the title shot. So then we still had Masvidal and Gilbert that was up after that. Gilbert ended up winning. So then for me, it was just coming out of that meeting, trying to see what would be the next fight that would give me the title shot. And I think it was just depending on how Gilbert won that fight, if it was like a big finish or something like that, or if like Usman's ready to go before Gilbert is, then I think it'll just be either one of those two.
What do you think is the reason that they're giving it to Colby? Do you think it's just the fact that he's good at selling pay-per-views because so many people dislike him and there's that whole angle? Or do you think it was your one round with Leon? Unfortunately, that fight ended in a way that was completely unfair and unpredicted. What do you think?
I mean, I don't think it has anything to do with that one round with Leon because like I've gone 4-0 since that fight against top 10 guys. So I don't think it has nothing to do with that. I just think that Kobe, I don't know, maybe, Dana White has a love for him or the UFC sees something in him that, I don't know. I don't think he's a star. I don't think he's a superstar. I think that the pay-per-views he sold is because of Masvidal or Kamaru Usman. Like, I don't think it has anything to do with him. I just think that, you know, UFC is looking for that. Leon's not really a talker. He's not a trash talker. He's not a guy that's big in the media. He barely does any media. And they know that maybe Kobe will try to sell the fight more than him. And maybe it'll like give Leon some type of superstardom. I think they're trying hard to make him a star by giving him guys like Nate Diaz. They try to do the Masvidal thing. And, you know, he just doesn't know how to, you know, take that type of energy and go with it because he's very quiet and just like all to himself and tries to like do his talking with fighting. But like, it's the entertainment business. Like, you got to know how to talk. You got to know how to like interact with fans and stuff like that. And I just don't think he does that.
I do think though, I do think Colby is, I'm not a fan of his at all, but I do think he is somewhat of a draw because I think he has that thing where so many people dislike him. He's one of those fighters that people will want to watch. Like, no one's going to buy a pay-per-view to watch Poirier lose, say, because they like him. You know what I mean? Yeah. But he's a guy that even if you hate, like people will go, I fucking hate this guy or his whatever it is he's doing, however genuine, and I want to see him lose. I think half the people, if not more, that buy it really want to see him lose.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that side of it, but like, I just don't think that he's this crazy superstar where he's going to sell 500,000 pay-per-views of people that want to see him lose. I don't think he's there. I think that, you know, it takes two to tango and it takes two guys to try to sell a pay-per-view. Even with this fight, I just don't think that Leon's going to be, you know, taking the bait and trying to talk trash with him back and forth because he just doesn't talk. So I think most of it is going to be like Kobe saying very dumb things about London or some Britain or something like that. And, you know, it's just like basically talking to himself.
I think we need in this sport, like, you know, you need some pieces of shit. Because not if everybody was like Belal Muhammad, he's a nice guy. And it's fun to watch guys who are talented fight. And that alone is enough for me. But other guys like Jimmy Sane, it's like you like to either root against them or for them. But my point is, you know what I hate? I hate when guys are like, you know, this is a character. He just plays a character, but he's really a nice guy. He's really, but is he? Or is he really a twat? Because why would you act like this? And you're like, oh, but he's really, but he's a good, is he really a good guy? He talks about this one's kids. He talks about this one as a father. He talks about, you know, he gets so low that, and then you might meet him and be like, he'll be pleasant. You're like, oh, well, he's really a nice guy. But he's still a piece of shit. Like, in other words, they're like, like Chael Sonnen with Conor McGregor. He's like, and I don't want to keep bringing this up. People think I'm, but because it's fucking wrong. Because unless Chael's like, you know, Stu Nod, which he's not, he goes, I love how Chael, he goes, how I said this once before, but it's fucking funny. He's like, when people see Conor McGregor in the cage and he's saying, your wife's in my DMs and da da da. He goes, we're hitting his legs in half. Is he a bad person? Or is he staying in character? No, Chael, he's not staying in character. He's being a fucking dirtbag. Was he in character when he hit that fucking guy in the nightclub or punched the old man on the stool? The girl's jumping over in the fucking Pacific. Oh, is he a fuck? Wow, this guy, he should be a fuck. He's the next Daniel Day-Lewis.
No, like you hit it on the nose. Like I said, you can't beat, like, it isn't about characters. When you're bringing up family, you're bringing up wife and kids. I'm like, you say that type of stuff to a fighter, like, you're going to get punched on the street. That's what happens with Masvidal. People are like, Masvidal's gangster. I'm like, bro, you talk about his kids. Of course.
And then you sue him. And then you press charges. And then after that, he's in character, I suppose. And he goes, John Attic, watch your mouth. You don't want to, you know, when your kid's growing up without a father, dude, what are you going to do? Yeah, obviously you're playing a role now because you're not going to do anything on the street because we know how what happens with that. Just ask the fucking boomerang throwing fucking
Fabricio Verdum. Yeah.
Ask anybody that. What about the time he was in a lunch line at a fucking
buffet line?
Kamaru?
No. Yes. Kamaru was
backstage.
And Ali, his manager, they go after him. He's literally standing behind. There's like a little old lady like this with her arms like this, and he's standing. He's using this lady as like a shield. It's fucking crazy. He's like behind her, like fucking almost like, hey guys, you know, listen. Just trying to sell a fight. You pussy. All
right. Bro, exactly. No, that's what the biggest joke about it is. I'm like, if you're going to talk about it, be about it. Don't be fake about it. Don't sit there. Hey, man, I'm just joking. I'm just trying to sell. I'm like, no, you don't sell by talking about family or wife and kids or religion. I'm like, that's not selling a pay-per-view. And I'm like, you talk about that stuff. Like, it goes to the street and you deserve that. But if you're not even willing to back yourself up in the street, it just shows how much of like a joke you are.
True. It's fucking true. Yeah, did you ever make up with Sean Strickland? Did you make up? Or no?
No. I still been trying to fight him.
Yeah. He's a different guy, Sean Strickland. I just think he likes just being outrageous. Like, he's like a little awkward, but he's kind of funny on the mic, though, I think.
Yeah.
He has funny moments. Like, I'm very cool with Nixick, and Nixick, he'll tell me, like, bro, man, if you got to meet him and, you know, got to hang out with him longer, you would actually like him. I was like, nah, man, I don't think I would. He's like, nah, man, I'll tell you, man. Like, nobody liked him at first, but then when you get to, he'll start growing on you. I'm like, all right, maybe, but, you know, for now, I'm still going to hate him.
Yeah, listen, it's okay to have that. You're still fighting in the cage. It's good to have that little, So, I mean, now, yeah. would you welcome either one of those fights, Gilbert or Kamaru Usman?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was like, they were telling me, oh man, you don't have that one name on your resume that makes us think, oh, okay, we need that one. And I'm like, I'd be in huge
Sean Brady,
names.
Man. Sean Brady exactly. Was undefeated.
He was undefeated 15-0. I'd be in Wonderboy, Damian Maya, Vicente Luque. And it's like, those names aren't enough. So I'm like, give me a former title holder and Kamaru Usman, who everybody thinks is, you know, the GOAT of the welterweights, and he's like a Hall of Famer. So if I go out there and I beat him, I don't think there's no denying me. And he's ranked number one.
Yeah.
But, you know, Gilbert's been active and, you know, he got a lot of hype for the Masvidal fight. And, you know, when you're fighting twice in whatever 5 months it was, you know, people start talking about you and you're in the news, you stay in the news. So people are like, he gets on a mic and he says, oh, I want the title fight next. So it's like, all right, well, do I have to go through Gilbert? So like either one of those guys for sure. But for me, it's like, just give me that one fight. As long as there's only one fight where I don't have to fight every ranked person to get a title fight, I'm like, I already have the longest streak in the division. Just give me whoever's next. I'll fight them. And then I'll fight for the title.
And you know, it's a short list. I mean, they can't deny you forever. You know that. I mean, there's only a couple of guys, like you said, whether it's going to be Gilbert or Colby, it's going to happen soon. You probably have to just win one more fight. Cause anybody you fight is probably going to be your bridge to the title anyway.
Yeah. And that's the thing. A lot of people are telling me, bro, just wait. I'm like, it's so easy to get like injured in this game and just in practice and training. And it's like, we do the hardest type of practice, hardest type of training. So when I'm healthy, I want to be active. I want to be in a cage. Like, this is where I make my money. I don't want to sit there and have to, you know, oh, I'm sitting here waiting for this. I'm pouting or anything like that. I'm like, cool. You guys want me to win one more? Just tell me who that one more is, and I'll go out there and I'll beat him.
What did you think of Leon's performance? So much better than that first fight, which was at altitude. But I mean, did you expect it to go the way it went in that rematch? Or did you think Kamaru was going to take it?
I mean, for me, it was more so, it wasn't really a lot that Leon did. It was more so that Kamaru didn't look as, you know, polished as he usually does, or as confident as he usually does. And I think that he just came back way too soon from that knockout. I think I've gone to a rematches with guys that knocked me out, and it's, you're mentally, it's different for you. And you have to go over, you know, like this mental hurdle. And for him to go right back at it 6 months later, after just being put to sleep, like you could tell, like he was kind of like very slow starting on his feet, very, you know, hesitant to do anything. Even his wrestling wasn't there. I know Leon obviously did better in some situations, but I just think that for the most part, it was Kamaru didn't look as good as he normally would. And I mean, for me, it could have went either way. That fight was very close, and it could have went to Kamaru. It could have went to Leon. Like, I wouldn't have been mad either way, but like, I don't think it's like, cause Kamaru should be on his way out. I think Kamaru still has it. I just think that he should have took a different fight between that fight and before getting that rematch, because going back in the same cage with a guy 6 months later, they just put you to sleep. Like, you're going to be thinking about it. And I think that he was thinking about it a lot. And Leon was landing those low kicks, and Kamaru was thinking, man, is he going to go high? Is he going to go high? Is he going to go high? And you could just see it in his eyes. He was waiting for that high kick to come.
Doesn't that make you almost more impressed too? When you say it just like that, when you look at what Adesanya just did over Pereira after being stopped twice and lost the first one, there's no way that wasn't in his head. And Pereira did look really good in that round that he wound up getting dropped in, which is even more impressive that he was able to come back and knock him out.
Yeah, honestly, like to me, Adesanya is like one of the most impressive, and like, you got to respect him. Like, there's a lot of people that a lot of haters and stuff like that, but like, there's nothing you can hit at Adesanya, because he's that guy that's always looking for the next best challenge. Even when he was champion, he was like looking at the next guy. He wasn't waiting for, oh, who's going to make me sell the most pay-per-views. Right. He's like, this guy, all right, this guy's ranked best. This guy has the biggest streak. I'll build it up myself. I want to fight who you guys think is the best. And for him to come back out there and finish Pereira like that after losing three fights to him. And yeah. I was like, he looks strong mentally, saying all the right things, but I'm like, I don't think, you know, obviously it has to be in the back of your head, but he went out there and he like proved me wrong, and he proved a lot of people wrong.
He's awesome, man. I really respect what he did and how he got it done. It's very brave.
Yeah, bro.
I say it's the anime.
Dude,
that made him power up.
That celebration, like, I'm like, bro, he had to have trained that celebration. That was like so good. And like, so like perfectly acted out. I'm like, he has to be doing that in the bathroom or something.
People are upset at what he did with that, you know, finding the kid and playing dead. I liked it. And I'm a father.
The kid was very young though. When did he do that to him? How old was the kid when he did that? He was really young.
Yes.
I think he was like nine or something.
How about this though? And I love that. I like Alex Pereira a lot. I heard Alex Pereira talking about it. And he was saying how the kid wanted to do it. This is what I'm 99% sure. That, unless, you know, I was in a marijuana haze, but I'm pretty sure I heard him say that the kid wanted to do that the second when he beat him again, when he knocked him out again. When Alex beat him, the kid wanted to go in the cage and do it again. He told him no, he wasn't going to do it. Well, it's like, all right, but a little late, because he did it how many years ago? So it was still, but the fact that the kid wanted to do it again shows me he didn't learn his lesson. So
yeah.
I'm sorry you're going to cry yourself to sleep in your acai over there, but listen, you don't do that shit, little man, young man, you don't do that.
No, exactly. Yeah, you got to respect these guys. And like I said, if you're going to talk the talk, you got to walk the walk too. And you got to take it as good as you're going to give it. So like, he's going to learn from it. And if you're at a sign down, how long it that clip sticking in your head that, you know, you remembered him, you looked out for that kid, you pointed to him, and obviously he stuck with him since that one day.
Oh, that's great. I like when he goes, hey, I love it. He's like, hey man, you, if you crawl, we can brawl and shit like that. I love it. Fuck it. Hey man, let's go.
And you and Gilbert are both tweeting, I will fight anyone, right? So, I mean, I would love to see you guys matched up. And if it happens, how much of a weight do you think we'd have since Gilbert just fought?
I mean, they're looking at us. They were talking to us to do it on May 6th. So May 6th, they just lost the co-main event for that card. So it would be 3 weeks.
Oh, shit.
Wow. And you could be ready in 3 weeks.
Yeah, for me, I'm a guy that's always in the gym. I'm always training. And it's one of those things. Like, if I get a guaranteed number one, it's the number one contender fight. That's my moment to go. Cause it's like, I don't want to sit there and have to wait. Like I said, if they tell me Kamaru's maybe ready in June, July, August, I'm like, it's still the waiting game of seeing if he's going to be ready. And then,
right,
like I said, you never know what happens in camps. If I'm healthy, I want to be able to fight. I'm ready to go at all moments. I don't think Gilbert's really taking any damage in that Masvidal fight. It was more so just him pushing the pace and taking Masvidal down. So, like, I'm pretty sure he's healthy, and he's always saying he wants to fight anybody. So, for me, I'm like, I'm ready to go at any moment.
Well, there's some good fights on that card as well, besides Cejudo and Aljo. Andrade against Jan Jannan, and Drew Dober against Matt Frivola. That's a fight that I can't wait to see. That is a very, I think, not been talked about enough, what a great fight that is.
Yeah, Matty's a little under the radar, Matty. Matt Frivola always has entertaining fights. So does Drew Dober. But Drew Dober, I think, might be a little more well-known. I want this to be Matty's. Matt's such a – listen, we love both guys. Matty's our guy. So I just that one's a little bit of a sleeper on that card. That's a great fight.
They're going to bang it out.
Oh, 100%. You train at Rufus Sport. You train with Christian Rodriguez. I was impressed with that kid, man.
When the UFC booked that fight, I'm like, man, they do not know how good Christian is. I'm like, if you're trying to build this kid up, if you're trying to build Raul up, I'm like, this is the worst fight for it, because – Christian is a dog. Like, he's good everywhere. He's not just good striking. He's good grappling, good wrestling, and just his poise and patience in the cage is miles ahead, leaps and bounds ahead of anybody.
Yeah, it's mature.
He's very calm. Yeah.
Yes. Very mature fighter. Like, very, his fight IQ seems very high for a young kid.
Yeah. He's training, you know, he grew up training with Anthony Pettis and Sergio Pettis and, you know, Duke his whole life since he was a child. So he's like Sergio Pettis' main training partner. So you're learning from Sergio since you're a kid. And, you know, since he was a kid, he was in the trenches. He wasn't like, they weren't just like giving him like the kids class or anything. Like, he was sparring with the adults right away.
I like his head. I like where his head's at, because we had him on here the week before. And we're like, you know, I asked him a similar question. Like, well, what do you think about, how do you feel that they're matching you up with this young Raul? And, you know, like, you almost like, you feel like they're using you as like, to build him up. He said, look, I don't look at it like that at all. I think they're looking at two up-and-coming prospects and young. And I'm like, I didn't want to be like, I don't think so, dude. I think they're setting up. But fucking he, dude, listen, his mindset, he didn't go in there looking like they were setting him up for shit. He went in there looking like, all right, let's find out who's better. I was impressed, man.
You know? Yeah. And, you know, like, I was there fight week with them and the guys, and I'm sitting there trying to hype him up, like, bro, this is a huge spotlight for you. Talk a little trash. Like, nah, I don't want to. It's okay. Then, like, Sergio, he had the press conference, and Sergio Pettis is like, here, wear my chain. He's like, nah, I don't really want to wear a chain or a necklace. And I'm like, bro, come on, man. Like, he was just so patient and poised the whole week. Like, he didn't let the moment get to him at all. He wasn't like getting big headed. And even after the fight, he was just like, you know, this kid's a good kid. He's still gonna be, you know, he can still be well. And, you know, I think he has a lot to learn, but he still could be a champion. And I'm like, bro, like, he's so mature for his age.
What a nice kid, man.
Yeah, he is. And it was also one of those things. I think it's a good loss for him, because it's one of those things where you're not going to just blitzkrieg guys at the UFC level and have them be panicked by your aggressiveness. You know what I mean? Guys on that level see aggressive. They see guys who are coming strong and coming hard really fast. It's something that will throw maybe a lesser fighter, but a guy in the UFC is not going to be thrown by that at all. And then you go into the second round, you have no energy left.
Exactly. He's going to learn that game. And I think he's also going to learn, like, you know, you can't have your parents and brother and sister in your corner. Like, you need real coaches in your corner that are going to give you real advice. Because when you have family, it just becomes like all about emotions and things like that. And like, they're telling him in his corner, like, oh, you have to win. You have to do this. And it's like, that's not real corner advice. I think that, you know, if he had a real veteran coach in his corner, it would have like told him, like, hey, don't just blitz, set your takedowns up, throw your jab. Don't be afraid to strike. Because I think he's tough enough. He can strike with these guys. And especially at 135, I think that, you know, just coming out there thinking you're just going to take everybody down and dominate them with your grappling, it's not the smartest thing. Because when you get to the higher level guys that can wrestle, that can do jiu-jitsu, like, everybody's well-rounded nowadays. So you letting all your gas out in that first round, now you know that you can't just do that. And I don't think he, like Sean O'Malley said, he should take 2 years off. I don't think he really needs to do that. I think he just pick his fights better, be smarter. And like I said, it's all about fight IQ nowadays. Like, if he would have finished him in the first round with that rear naked choke when he had that spot, like, people would have been calling him the next big thing, and they would have given him a ranked opponent right away. But the fact that he lost, I think it's better for him. So now it'll be more of a slow roll and go slower that pace than this.
Right.
That's true. And now, and listen, you have, you're right now, it's like your career's right where it should be. It's never been hotter. But do you ever think 10 years from now or more, what am I doing when I'm done with this whole fight in a cage thing? Do you ever think about what's next? I know you got your eye in the goal, I'm just saying.
Yeah, no, of course, always. You know, you're always looking ahead, thinking ahead, and it's like you look for right investments or right businesses you want to do. But for me, I do a lot of coaching when I'm in Chicago too. And like, I always definitely want to stay involved in the gym, training in the gym, and like helping a lot of these younger fighters. The gym I'm at now, we have so many young guys, and I train, I teach over there twice a week when we do practices. So I think that I'll end up being like in some sort of coaching role too, because like, I love the sport. I just like love being a part of it. So for me, it's like helping this next generation and trying to be like a mentor for these younger guys, of telling them what I went through and what, so they won't have to go through the same thing.
That's good, man.
Fuck yeah. Man. Very much looking forward to this.
Well, man, I hope the best for you, man. You're just a good dude.
Yeah.
Appreciate you, brother.
I hope this May 6th fight happens. And if it does, man, come on right after. We'd love to talk to you again. And we'll talk to you soon, Bilal. And I'm hoping you get this fight May the 6th, because I'm dying to see you get that title shot.
For sure, man. I appreciate you guys, man. Yeah, if it all works out, May the 6th, and then we fight in Abu Dhabi in October. So hopefully it all goes the way we're planning.
All right, man. Have a good week, and we'll talk to you soon. All right, buddy?
All right, guys.
Thanks, Bilal.
All right, Bilal.
And also, thank you to Jimmy Smith. I guess that does it for today, but hopefully we'll know more by Wednesday. May 6th is a very fast turnaround for Gilbert, so we'll see if he's willing to do that.
Well, I'm excited for Bilal. He's a good dude.
I love Bilal. You cannot like him.
I like that Jimmy Smith.
Yeah. Also, SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156 is now your exclusive radio home for the UFC. Hear all the action from fight nights, pay-per-views every Saturday on your home for combat sports. SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156 on the SiriusXM app. That is a great thing to tie UFC into SiriusXM radio, because every other sport you can listen to. And the way these guys break down fights, when you listen to whether it's Bisping or Cormier or, of course, Rogan, you can easily listen to it and you know what's happening.
Just like UFC Unfiltered, man. Easy listening.
Easy.
Matt, Jimmy, what do you want to plug, man?
Cleveland, Friday, Saturday. I think Saturday's sold out, so I'll be there on Friday. And this Wednesday at the Fat Black Pussycat here in New York.
Well, Jimmy, I messed up with the no, no, no. It was don't.
That's all right.
I'll just sing us out.
No harm.
Six shows in a couple of days. And for everybody who listens to Unfiltered, I'll just change the you with us or the don't you forget about me. I'll change that to an us already. No, no, it's not no, 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 no. It's don't. Don't you forget about me. Don't. Goodbye, everybody. Love you, Jimmy.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.